There once was a girl born in 1989 and raised in Reading, Pennsylvania. Her name is Taylor. In the country she was born, she moved to Nashville, Tennessee at the age of 14 to pursue a career in country music. Her self-titled debut album, Taylor Smith, in 2006 peaked at number 5 on the Billboard 100. The album's third single, Our Song, made her the youngest person to single-handedly write and perform a number one song on the Hot Country Songs chart. Last night, I listened to that song. It's country and western, catchy, clever, and well-written. The music video featuring a young Taylor Swift has an innocence to it and a lot of energy. I liked her song a lot. Her talent was apparent even then. To date, Taylor has sold more than 40 million albums and 160 million single downloads. There was another 17-year-old girl born over 2,000 years ago. She wasn't from Pennsylvania, although she once traveled to Bethlehem. Her name was Mary, and she was betrothed to the town carpenter, Joseph. She went to her cousin's house, and she sang an original song now known as the Magnificat. I tried to find a recording of her singing her song, but apparently recording technology was not available when she sang it. Imagine that. However, the lyrics have been preserved, so I read from them last night. Her song was a song of praise about how God has been mindful of her and blessed her. The lyrics are understated and elegant and yet still somehow innocent. I liked the song a lot. Her faithfulness was apparent even then. Those words were written down and transcribed for centuries until printing technology made it possible for them to be printed and distributed. There is no exact count of the number of copies, but it's safe to say that it's over 10 billion. Suffice it to say, the Magnificat is worth putting on our Christmas playlist. It's not popular music, but rather sacred music grown popular. Without this song, there would be no other Christmas songs. Without this song, there would be no Christmas. I invite you to join along with me as we read out of the Gospel of Luke. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Mary's heartfelt words are the result of her encounter with the angel Gabriel. The angel greeted her by saying, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." These words, plus the countenance of the angel, were confusing to Mary. The angel then said, "Don't be afraid," and then proceeded to tell her that she would conceive and bear a son, and that he would be hailed as the Son of God, and that he would be great. Mary, thinking immediately of her engagement to Joseph, protested, "How can this be? I have had no relations with any man." The angel explains the miraculous way that this will happen and then mentions another miracle. Her cousin Elizabeth, who was known to be barren, was now in her sixth month of pregnancy. You see, nothing is impossible with God. Mary then assents, saying, "Let it be with me as you say." So later, Mary, once she was pregnant, went to her cousin Elizabeth's home. And you have heard that visit described and how she sang her song. Two quick observations about this song known as the Magnificat. First, Mary's words are personal. God has been mindful of her personally. Think of that for a moment. Her soul magnifies the Lord because he has been mindful of her. Here we have a Mediterranean peasant girl who has been chosen to give birth to the Son of God. Such an announcement would have run contrary to every social reality of those ancient times. The gods dealt with kings and queens and nobles and great warriors. They didn't trifle with peasants and poor people. Why would they? But this God, this monotheistic, omnipotent God, this God did. We tend to think of greatness in terms of isolation. The greater you are, the less accessible you become. You know, there was a time when you could go to the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville and hear a young Taylor Swift, a virtual unknown, sing for free. You could walk up between sets and talk to her and compliment her on her music. Try it now. It's not that she's stuck up or that she's not hasn't made an effort to be accessible to her fans. She has. In fact, there's a Time Warner channel devoted to her music if you want to tune in. And she has her own channel on YouTube. You just can't talk to her in person. She's a big deal now, incredibly wealthy and famous. And judging from her latest music video, which I also watched last night, perhaps she's not quite so innocent. I'm not recommending it. In contrast, Mary is shocked that the greatest of all entities has chosen to be readily accessible to her. This is the nature of her God. And what is more, God is not just accessible to Mary like she was some sort of sweepstakes winner or something. Rather, God is making plans through Mary to be flesh and blood in the midst of all people, imminent, available. As Christians, we believe that the birth of Jesus was God's defining way of making good on the promise to Abraham years before. Further, Mary sings that our God is mighty and capable of doing great things, capable of turning the human status quo upside down. And those people who would seek to rival the might of God, well, God has a way of humbling them. That God scatters the proud and lifts up the lowly. That God honors women and gives them a key role in salvation history. That God didn't invite Mary to his office and press a button in his desk to lock the door. That God didn't drop drugs in Mary's drink for the purpose of seducing her. That God didn't feign interest in her career, molest her, and then defame her. That God didn't send her lewd pictures of himself in a pathetic attempt to impress her. That God didn't assault her when she was asleep or give her a pinch around the office just because he could. That God does not exploit those who are vulnerable. Rather, the God of which Mary sings honored her, was mindful of her, and blessed her. That God blesses the less powerful, exalts them, includes them, respects and honors them. That didn't just go for the female of the species, but all of God's children. Mercy, mindfulness, and might, these are the hallmarks of the Lord. This morning we share Mary's sentiments and proclaim a merciful God who calls us to his table, knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that we have indeed sinned, but also knowing that we are created in his image, and therefore we have innate worth and dignity. So let us partake of his divine presence as we celebrate the sacrament of communion this morning. Let us magnify the Lord that he might fill us with good things. Amen.